Okay. Now, how do we do this again?
Oh, that's right. It's a podcast. It's about wrestling. And I'm going to introduce myself. I'm Mr. Mimi, also known as Call. Usually that's the other way around. It doesn't matter. And over there on my screen is my buddy Paul from Alberta. How's it going, buddy?
Just making shit up on the fly. You know how it goes.
Hey, we're keeping things fresh tonight. We're doing things crazy. We're doing things different.
It's true. We are.
I actually remembered my whiskey tonight.
Yay. I too have a whiskey to sip on.
Helps to warm the cockles on these cold, cold fall. I call them winter nights, and I get slapped by the wife. She's like, it's not winter yet. I'm like, okay, you're right. It's fall for another, what, 19 days, 20 days?
Yeah.
20 days.
Sure feels like winter.
How the hell is December 1st tomorrow? Like, oh my God.
I know. I was thinking the same thing. It's nuts. Got to do this before month end. That's tomorrow. That's not right? Happening.
Yeah, I know. I looked at the box of Christmas cards. I'm like, oh yeah, I guess we kind of have to send those if people want to get those. I don't even know. I don't know if 2023, do people give a shit about Christmas cards anymore? I don't know if people even care anymore.
We appreciate the ones that actually have thought behind them and they're a little bit creative, not the ones that just, it's kind of like you can tell that somebody just picked up a pack of 20 and they're figuring out what 20 people are getting the same card.
Yeah.
With likely the same inscription on the inside.
Yeah. They put more thought into where they bought the stamps than what they wrote in the card. So,
you are not incorrect.
Murder Gymnastics. Welcome, everyone. It's a Christmas card podcast. We talk all things holly jolly. If we're talking anything, it would be, remember the old December to Dismember ECW pay-per-view? No, that's a holiday tradition I miss as a gory wrestling pay-per-view. We'll get to the gory in wrestling later when we talk about some death matches that AEW had recently. Oh my God. Those guys are crazy. Hi, before we get going, before we get started, how you doing, Paul? How are you feeling today? You feeling good?
I'm doing well.
Yeah.
I am doing well. Just recovering from my first bout with the vid. So
that's right.
You know,
You had to
so
join
my
the
energy
club.
Level is just it's creeping up there, but it's not quite there yet. This whiskey will help.
You tick that on off your list and just don't get it a second time.
Yeah, you know, it only took 3.5 years to avoid the beast and catch the beast. So let's go for another 3.5, shall we?
Let's pass on that. Yeah. So
how are things on your side of the country?
We haven't had snow yet. Like, not really. It's been like flurries and nothing has stuck, which is really weird for Montreal. And so it's making me think, you know, global warming. Yeah. Right. It's like, where is it? So we're supposed to get dumped on this weekend, but they've promised us that like 3 times and it hasn't happened once. So we'll see what happens, but there's supposed to be a good chunk, 15 centimeters, as we call it up here in Canada, which is about,
oh, wow,
I don't know, 6 inches. I have no idea. I can't do the math.
It's a good dump.
Yeah.
And everybody likes a good dump.
And we're talking about snow. We're not gross. God.
Well, we're a little gross.
Speaking of gross, CM Punk is back. Hey, do you like that transition? There's a segue.
Nice.
There's a segue.
Well done.
Okay, I promised myself I wouldn't do this as a hater tonight, so I'm not going to. I'm going to talk objectively about the whole thing. I'm not happy about it. That's for sure. I figured we might as well start here since it's what everyone's talking about.
Yep.
They tricked me. I fully believed he was not coming back. There was articles. They obviously were doing this on purpose. They were doing interviews saying, we said no, Triple H slammed the door, all that shit. I think he even talked about this on the last episode. He's not coming back. And they tricked me. And it wasn't until the day of Survivor Series that it occurred to me, oh, fuck, this isn't Chicago. Oh, no. Then I started to get nervous. I'm like, oh, no. Apparently my wife had already been nervous. I'm like, oh no, are we going to see his face? And they kept Randy Orton wasn't there. They're like, where's Randy Orton? He's supposed to be coming back tonight. He hasn't shown up. And I'm like, oh God, they're going to be like, where's Randy Orton? And then CM Punk's music's going to come on. Oh God. No, Randy Orton's music came on. Out he came. We're like, dodge the bullet right to the end of the damn show. When his music hits and out he comes and the place goes bananas. And when you see the reaction, you go, ah, yeah, this is why they did it, right? Yeah. So it doesn't, subjective art form, it doesn't matter if I like Phil. A lot of people do. And even if they don't like him, they like what they like the drama that just having him on the show brings. I get it. I totally get it. I don't have to like it. I'm not going to like it. I'll complain about it, but I get why they did it. I don't think it's the right thing for WWE to do. In my opinion, I don't think they need him. So it seemed kind of like a cheap move to me. Like, they're already doing great. Ticket sales, great. Ratings, great. They're already bragging about how great they're always doing. And they have all of these wrestlers that need TV time. And then let's just bring in some old guy that's going to take everybody's time away. And you're going to still have great ratings and great. Yeah, you can have all the stuff you already had. But all these young people are going to miss out on their chances now. So,
well, and the thing, at least for me, because I don't have the history with CM Punk to have the distaste for him that you do. I hear all the stuff behind the scenes. And that's the stuff I don't like. As a performer on screen, like his recent AEW run, it's like, yeah, I get why people like him. He is entertaining on the screen. He does bring a certain quality. He does, you know, he does bring certain things out of people. But what I don't understand is exactly what you just said of, if the WWE is doing so well, why do you know what this guy is like behind the scenes?
Yeah.
And recently, which is why he was available, is because he's an idiot in the locker room.
Well, and 10 years ago, he basically tried to bury this company that they fired him on his wedding day. I don't know if you know that or not. He was fired on his wedding day. So that's as big a, Vince basically said, fuck you, in the biggest way he could. He waited for his most special day and canned his ass. And now he's back.
Yeah, I get why he wants to come back. For sure.
Totally.
But yeah, I don't get it.
And I also get that it's a ratings bonanza. I get it. Like, I get Monday night's episode must have had, I can't even imagine the numbers that the ratings they must have had. And Saturday night, I feel bad for Collision. They must have got just destroyed up against Phil coming back in Chicago on a pay-per-view. That must have been so massive. Like, just like when he came back on Dynamite, it was huge. Absolutely huge. So I get it. I totally understand why they're doing it. I don't like it. I think it's going to be for like a year. He better not get a title, a major title, or I'm going to be choked. Because LA Knight, Sami Zayn, go through the list of guys that, Jey Uso, that are, I think, deserve chances.
They put in the time
to hold the titles, not just fight for them. They've all lost to Roman Reigns now, right? Each one of those three guys is lost. So if CM Punk loses to Roman Reigns, he can join that club. That's fine. But I don't even want him getting that main event match though. No, he's 45. He can't go anymore. That's one thing that I saw in AEW is he's still charismatic on the mic. I will give it to him. He comes out with the most arrogant face of any wrestler I've ever seen, that smile he does. And that's what gets people just like going crazy. I totally get the appeal in that way, but he can't really go anymore. He can't go in a big match for 30 minutes, you know, high impact, big moves. He can't. That's not a slag on him as a wrestler. He's 45 years old. So most guys can't. Even Edge and Christian, they try and they're doing a hell of a job, but even they, if you look at it, they're going about 80% what they used to, because they're 50 years old. That's just how biology works. So I don't know what the plan is for Phil. It better not be a huge program with Seth Rollins and he wins the World Heavyweight title. I'm gonna be so pissed if that's what happens. If he comes on in a good program with someone in a feud, gets beat up a bunch of times, he can win some matches, whatever. If it's just like a kind of like a, not a retirement tour, but you know, fine. If he's just part of the roster, he's getting matches, whatever. I just don't want it to become, because like Collision became the CM Punk show. He was, he opened it, he closed it. It was just his program. I don't want that to happen to SmackDown or to Raw. Because what happens to Pretty Deadly and to Gunther and to Io Sky and to all the other wrestlers right now that are like building momentum? And hell, LA Knight, we talk about all the time. Is he just going to disappear now? Is this the end of the Yeah movement with a guy like CM Punk coming in? I have no idea. So we'll have to see.
Well, and you kind of understand it more from an AEW perspective where they're trying to make up ground, right? And totally. they know the pop that somebody on the level of CM Punk, whether he's going to wrestle these 30-minute matches or not, he's good enough, and he's helping them build a brand, helping them launch Collision. Like you said, he kind of became almost like the de facto face of Collision to some degree.
Big time. Yeah.
And they were centering a lot of stuff around him for that, which made sense until he remembered who he was and fucked all that up.
Right. Yeah.
But so you understand from their perspective, but yeah, I don't, as far as like long-term plan, like you said, I guess we got to wait and see, but yeah, I don't know. It doesn't make a lot of sense long-term for WWE.
And just the future potential of like animosity in the locker room. And like, cause things finally Vince is out. And, you know, I was hearing what good things were happening behind the scenes, how positive the locker rooms were, the Triple H and working with people. So the last thing we need is for things to go south again and have, you know, any sort of like trouble in the locker room. That's always that, like, that's such a detriment and can be death to a promotion when you have, and like, look at AEW, like they've suffered over the last couple of years with too many people running things behind the scenes that aren't the boss. You know,
yeah.
And that can be just that, that can really affect your promotion. There has to be someone in charge that's calling the shots, and your employees have to be happy doing the work. And if Phil comes in and he's just willing now to do the work, fine. I actually, I have no problem with that. He comes out on his, you know, comes out on SmackDown. He has his match and he leaves. No problem. But if it has to be the main event every Friday and he has to end with the mic in his hand, it's going to drive me crazy. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, and you got to think he's aware he has to be on a short leash. Like, if he messes up once, you got to think he's being shown the door. And he's, if that is, does come to pass, he's now burned two bridges with the two biggest promotions. What's his avenue now at that age?
Yeah, you'd assume this is the last hurrah, as they say. And I think it's a big test for him to see if he's grown up at all, and if like maybe the AEW thing was blown out of proportion. It wasn't all his fault, but sure didn't sound very good. We'll see now. It hasn't been that long since. So it's not like he's had time to turn over a new leaf. So we'll see exactly who Phil is. And hey, maybe he's getting booed out of the building before WrestleMania. Who knows?
Yeah.
So we'll see. That's enough CM Punk.
Yeah. I've got the CM Funk now.
That's right. That deserves a sip of whiskey.
Wash
that flavor out of my mouth. Well, speaking of War Games, I won't talk a lot about it. Just it was a good pay-per-view. Survivor Series is always fun. They've moved away from the brand versus brand that Survivor Series used to be, Raw versus SmackDown, Blue versus Red. Clearly it's about War Games now. It's about those two big cage matches and a couple other good matches. So yeah, it was a good pay-per-view. The women's match I still think stole the show, just with big moves. I shared you those two videos. Io coming off the top wearing a garbage can. Best spot in wrestling. I've seen it twice now because she did that in NXT as well. And so I was hoping she would do it again. And to see Dakota Kai. So one of the members of Damage Control wasn't in the match. She was kind of outside as like a manager. And Io climbed to the top. I was like, how are they going to get her a garbage can? I was hoping they were going to do the spot. She throws a chain up to her and then ties the chain around the garbage can, and Io pulls the can up and puts it on and dives off. So great spot. Loved it. It looks dangerous, but it's so controlled. Everyone's there to catch her, but she's still doing it blind. Like, you have to be willing to put a garbage can over your head and then just jump. Like, I wouldn't be able to do that. So, and then Charlotte going backwards off the top of the cage is just insane. Like, if you watch the replay, she would have landed on her feet if those girls weren't there. I think she would have actually done a successful backflip off the top of a cage and then just landed. It probably curtsied and left. Like, she's just so she's so talented. So yeah, great spots. It was exciting. The men's match was good too. It's tough to follow up. The second one is always more of the same. They're very long matches, so to watch two long cage matches in one night it's quite a bit. But the men's match was still really good, and there was a crazy spot. Randy Orton had come back. You know what the RKO is, right? That's the his face, almost face first DDT, the way he does it.
And he can do from anywhere.
They had a guy standing on top of the cage, and two of the opposing members grabbed him from the top of the cage and threw him off. And he had to actually fall like with his arms at his side and do a face plant into an RKO from the top of the cage. So
Jesus.
Like, Randy takes the credit on that, but it's all JD McDonagh on that one. It was like, dude, yeah, you got to be a young man to pull off a, you got to be a Will off. No, you got to be a, who's our guy from AEW with the painted face that is going to die eventually. We're going to watch him kill
Darby
himself.
Allin.
Darby Allin. You got to be a Darby Allin to do crazy shit like that. So we'll get to him. Remember that name. We'll get to Darby. So yeah, it was good pay-per-view, but okay, one last CM Punk complaint. Him coming out at the end, Randy Orton had just come back after he was gone for a year and a half, right? So Randy coming back is a big fucking deal. Crowd went insane. He had a great match. War Games just finished, and they had just started celebrating their victory. CM Punk comes out and just steals the whole thing. Like, that stole Randy's return. It stole the victory at War Games. It stole the whole show. So I don't like how I think he should have come back on Raw or SmackDown or something, or come back, open the pay-per-view. The first thing that happens is he walks out and you go, holy shit, CM Punk is here. And then you have your show. But to close it that way, like, I'm not surprised certain people were pissed off because he stole everyone's thunder at the end. So that's the last thing I'll say about CM Punk. But it ended the show. Like, we were both mad. We just watched 3.5 hours of wrestling and we're turning it off pissed off. Now I'm mad again.
Have another drink of whiskey.
So yeah, it was a good show. R-Truth is back, thank goodness, because he's the funniest man in wrestling. He had been injured. He fucked his leg up real bad a year ago, something like that. He came back. He won't be doing a lot of wrestling anymore, I don't think, but he's the funniest. He's just the funniest wrestler. And he was backstage covered in donut dust because he had a tray of donuts that he'd been eating. That's the first time you see him in a year. He's covered in donut dust. And he's like, what's going on? They're like, it's War Games. He's like, War Games? Was I in it? How'd I do? Like, it was the funniest line. I just cracked up. He's hilarious. So yeah, R-Truth is back. So that's great. So we had Phil, R-Truth, and Randy Orton all back in one pay-per-view. So lots of returns. It was it was a good time.
Three ain't bad.
Yeah, it was a good time. So WWE, nice. That's basically where we're at right now. There's no LA Knight news at all. I haven't seen him do much since the last pay-per-view. He had a couple of matches on SmackDown, but the momentum is a little slow. We'll see. There's not a lot of screen time for everybody.
No.
It's tough. Oh, there was an excellent heel turn this week. One of my guys from NXT that came up and joined the LWO, Santos Escobar. I was a huge fan of his in NXT. He was an excellent heel man, not manager. He was the leader of a faction, but he felt like a manager. Like, he was in charge of this faction of really tough Lucha Libre guys. And they brought him up to the main roster and they gave him a babyface turn. And he became a smiley, happy guy with Rey Mysterio. And the fans have not given a shit for the whole time he's been up, like for about 8 months. He's trying so hard. No one cares about this smiling because it's not. I can see it's not naturally what he's good at as a professional wrestler. It's just not. And he's such a talented lucha wrestler that finally he betrayed Rey Mysterio, backstabbed him in front of a huge sellout crowd that turned on him so fast, got so much heat, and his eyes changed and his hair came down out of the ponytail. And I was like, oh, here comes Santos. And he went off in Spanish. And apparently the translation was full of shit you can't say on television. But if you, as long as it's not English, you can say whatever you want. The Japanese on WWE have proved that the last couple of months. You can say anything you want. Santos Escobar is back. I'm going to say he's officially back. And I think he's going to be main eventing pay-per-views in less than a year. He is so good. Wow. But he just has, I was worried that was going to be the end of his career. Being a babyface, it was not him. It was not natural. No one. And like, he would win a match and silence, like crickets throughout the crowd. I was like, oh God, this is over. Now he walks out and the hatred from the crowd is exactly what he wanted. So yeah. So that's I'm very excited about what the future for Santos Escobar is. I think you'll be hearing me talk about him on future episodes, hopefully.
Nice. I look forward to it.
Yeah. So that's basically my WWE wrap up. You watch any AEW recently?
I've been so busy with life things. I've just kind of skimmed the last couple episodes of Collision. I haven't watched this week's yet. So I've just kind of been cherry picking the matches that interested me. And they've always got, like, if you look at a Collision card, you can guarantee at least half of them are going to be really good matches.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, I'm really enjoying the women's division, the push that they're getting. They've had another title change there, which I'm kind of like, this is crazy. They've just celebrated a year of MJF holding the men's title, and now this is, I feel like it's like the fourth title change for the women in the last month.
It's like they're building up the legacy of the men's title, and then they're making the women's title kind of, it is flipping and flopping a lot. So
yeah,
they need to let someone establish a reign a little bit. So
yeah. Yeah. Which we've discussed that with Roman Reigns and everything like that, of like, how long do you keep a belt on somebody, as long as it makes sense. Right. But yeah, when it's, yeah, it just doesn't feel like any one of the performers is getting any momentum. But now that it's back on Toni Storm, she's kind of really the megastar there,
you know.
Well, okay. And recently Chris Statlander lost her TNT television championship to Julia Hart, which kind of frees her up from that belt, and she had a long reign.
Totally.
So, and she's really good. She's really solid. So I wouldn't mind her kind of taking her no nonsense approach to what Toni Storm's doing now, because it's that contrast, really, because we've seen a lot of the same things in the women's division where it's just kind of rinse and repeat, and they're all really talented. They're just not really being asked to do too much, I don't think.
That's what I think too. So the talent is there. They haven't been given the time or the stories to really get people engaged. I think they can find they can find the right direction for at least two or three good stories there. There's at least six girls that are ready to have great stories, I think. So
yeah,
hopefully.
I think so too. And then they recently kicked off this tournament that, when done right, I like a tournament in a show. Yep. So they've kicked off the Continental Cup. We can just hope that it's not like the old Mid-South days where it's written on like a poster board and you can't really read what's going on, or you don't trust that it hasn't changed in between shows. But
there's a part of me that kind of hopes there is a board, and there's like the felt marker that they like scratch names out after a defeat. That would kind of crack me up.
Yeah. But yeah, done right, tournaments can be fun because it's a bit of a break from the norm. You see some matchups that maybe you wouldn't normally see, and get to see a little bit different talent pool. So
yeah, agreed.
So yeah, I'm enjoying what I've seen of AEW. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to watch Full Gear, their pay-per-view. I read about it just to kind of get an idea of what had happened before I jumped into the next Collision. So sounded like it was a hell of a show.
Yeah, I saw the Adam Copeland Sting Darby Allin. So I don't want to see Darby Allin die in a wrestling ring. I know he's willing to do these things, but you have to remember that there's other people that have to be willing to do them to him, and we have to be willing to watch it. And that bump, I don't like watching that. Like, that one made me really uncomfortable, because when I saw him pick him up for the choke slam, I'm like, oh no, you can't really, there's where are you going to put him? And then when he put him on the apron over the rope, I'm like, oh my God, like the way he hit, I'm like, he's dead. He just died right there. Like, oh my God, he just makes me like, I love him. He's one of my favorite wrestlers in the world, but please don't die. Like, Jesus, buddy. At some point he's going to be getting spinal fusion surgery, just like all these other wrestlers. That's what happens to everyone that does this stuff, that goes crazy. So
there's so many bumps you hear of, like just somebody like a Rick Rude landing just wrong on something and it ends their career.
Yeah.
And you see all the crazy bumps he takes where his back will crash on like the corner of the ring apron and stuff. And I'm just thinking, you're gonna leave the arena in a wheelchair.
And I know he's young right now, so he thinks he's invincible. That's the problem, right? Jeff Hardy had the same situation. You think you're invincible and you can just jump off anything, fly through anything, and you'll be fine, because you have been up until this point. But oh my God, then you get like a Big E or like a certain wrestlers that just have an unfortunate moment that almost kills you, and you may never wrestle again. Like, look at like Randy Orton out for a year and a half. That's a substantial injury. That's not just being out for a few weeks or a few months. Once you've missed 18 months, that's potentially career ending. So please, Darby Allin, just go easy. Just don't die before you can wrestle Will Ospreay, because Will Ospreay's the news of him signing. He was the biggest free agent in the world. I was hoping for WWE just because I wanted to see Seth Rollins, Will Ospreay. I think that would just be unbelievable. Before both guys are finished, I would love to see that match. he actually got a huge offer from Impact, apparently. They offered seven digits to go to Impact, which I was impressed by. They're making that big push to, they're turning into TNA in January, and I think they're gonna try to like become the next player in North America. Like they already are the third promotion, but they're much smaller than the other two. But AEW, Will Ospreay, like there's a lot of potential matches there that's gonna actually really bring my eyes to more than just Collision. I can't promise I'll watch full shows, but if I hear Will Ospreay versus, you know, Adam Cole on Dynamite, I'm going to want to see that because I'm kind of becoming obsessed with Ospreay. Every time I watch him wrestle, I can't believe how good that guy is. So, And he's mostly been wrestling in Japan, in the UK. Like, we haven't seen tons of his stuff. But if you go on to DAZN for all the Impact shows are on there. He wrestled Eddie Edwards last month. Oh my God, that match is unbelievable. Like, it's 20 minutes of absolute chaos. It's fantastic. And he also wrestled, I wrote it down here, Speedball Mike Bailey. I'd never heard of him, but
I know the name, but
it's a hell of a match. Those two matches, Will Ospreay, absolutely incredible. So I'm excited about him coming to AEW. And he's a guy that will actually get my eye on the product more often than I do right now. Just he's one of my favorite wrestlers in the world. So I'm excited about that.
Yeah, I've only seen him in a couple matches. Like that Forbidden Door match was unbelievable.
Oh my God, yeah.
Seen him in a couple other ones where, he's just the limited amount that I have seen him. Exactly. He's left a lasting impression.
Yeah. So the one thing I will say about AEW, death matches are getting a little out of control for me. It's subjective art form. I know people like stuff. That's cool. I'm not telling anyone what to watch. So if you love that stuff, that's great. But watching one guy drink another guy's blood, I'm sorry. That's just, that's
I
not
miss
cool.
That.
Who oh did my that? God. Swerve. So it was Swerve.
Oh, and, Swerve Strickland.
And Hangman Page. And so much blood was coming off their faces. And I don't even know which one it was. If it was Swerve that drank it, or if it was, they were both just a bloody mess and blood was consumed. And it, no, I don't ever want to see that. People are finding it hilarious online. I'm seeing lots of people that love it. Apparently that's great. That's fine. But no, that's something that will actually make me not watch. If there's a death match, because they go crazy in AEW with the blood. They love the blood. It's getting a little out of, and I'm not squeamish at all, but it's just, that's not what I watch wrestling for. That's what I watch like Nick Cage movies for. That's what I watch like, you know, horror movies for. But if I'm watching wrestling, I'm not watching it to watch.
At some point it becomes overdone, right? Like you almost get desensitized to it.
Totally.
Whereas you look at like back in the day, the Bret versus Steve Austin match.
Yes.
Where he's like gushing blood. It mattered because you didn't see that all the time. Whereas if you come into a match and you're just expecting it, like funny enough, I just watched a Dark Side of the Ring on Abdullah the Butcher.
Oh, Jesus. This,
like that guy, you could just lightly punch him and he would start bleeding because of the scarring on his forehead.
Yeah.
And there's a guy that sued him successfully, won in two different courts, because he got hepatitis C from him, rare form of hep C that they could trace. And I'm just thinking like, yeah, I understand if you know what you're getting into. I don't know. It's tricky.
So it's, like I said, subjective. People can watch what they want, but that's not something that's ever going to draw me to the product. That's getting a lot of talk this week about the consumption of another man's blood. I don't ever want to see that. That's not on my plate. That's not on my wish list for 2024. So anyway, that's all I'll say about that. It's been a good week. Otherwise, I'm all caught up on NWA Power. It's actually been, it's still the consistent thing that they've been doing. It's not overwhelming me, but it's not disappointing me anymore. It's a very consistent product they've created. They just have to work on what stories they want to tell to really get me hyped for where they're going with like the next pay-per-view. And so, but like the actual like week by week show now, at least it's clean and it makes sense. It feels like a complete show that you're watching. And they're introducing a lot of new talent in NWA, which is good. They needed that.
It's actually one of the notes I have is that it's really good. I think it was, I haven't watched this week's yet, but there was one, might not have been last week's, the week before, where there was, I would say half the matches were like new
talent. So I like that a lot. They changed the theme again for Power, which annoys me a little bit, but it's a fine song. It's just when Billy starts singing, you know, it's Billy Corgan, right? So if there's a weak part of NWA, it's the owner who has to be involved in everything. He has to sing the music, and he has to get out there and do stuff in the pay-per-views, and he has to be on the show. He has to host that spectacular recruitment thing that's the worst. Like, why are they I don't know if you're enjoying that, Paul. I hate that segment. It's the worst. I hate it. Oh my God.
I actually laughed like going into it because I am not a fan of the spectaculars. Like, even their fun little dance became overplayed pretty quickly.
They totally
for me.
I'm did.
Like, yeah, we get it. You're it just, I don't know. It's just not for me. But Billy actually made me crack up legitimately a couple times during this job interview for the spectaculars that I was like, okay. Because I was expecting absolutely nothing out of it. Maybe because the bar was so low, I enjoyed it more than I expected I would. I was like, okay, that wasn't, and you might disagree, it wasn't a total waste of time. Would I have cut it? Probably.
Billy said at one point, he said, okay, this may not be good television. He actually said those words. And I'm like, you're right, Billy. You're right.
Just the claws were out. So yeah, he made me laugh probably about 3 or 4 times. I'm like, all right, that's worth something for something I had no expectation.
You can look forward to more of that this week. So they go back and do it again. I thought it was a replay, but no, it's new. So anyway, Kenzie Page is still awesome. So the women's champion of NWA cracks me up. She's not only great in the ring. I love what she does, but she just makes me laugh. Her raging personality that she does on a 2 count in the kick out. And she looks at the ref and goes, I hate you. Like, I've never heard anyone yell at the ref, I hate you, because they wouldn't do the 3 count. She just cracks me up. I really enjoy what she's doing. So her whole faction just entertains me. I don't want them ever to lose their gold, because they just make me happy. So
yeah, me too. And I can understand why they would annoy other people, but that's the point.
Exactly.
That is exactly what they're trying to do. They're trying to be those annoying heels, and they do it great.
They do it really great. Well. Exactly. Did you see Mercurio is not Mercurio anymore?
I thought he was.
Or was that this week? Oh, spoiler for you. They rebranded Mercurio. So,
oh, did they?
He's now Brian Idol. That's probably his real name, or at least closer to, and he's not Italian anymore. So
he dropped the cheesy fake accent.
Yeah. Yeah. You'll enjoy the match that he's in when Danny Deals reveals that he's his cousin. And he's not from Italy. He's from America. It was a cute way to, like, we've given him a new gimmick, and this is the new gimmick. Yeah. Sometimes gimmicks change. That's what happens. No problem. But I like that they actually wrote that he was related to him. It made me laugh. So
that's funny. I thought there was a strong debut by somebody actually from Dungeon Promotions, from like what used to be Stampede Wrestling here. Mo Jabari, he fought Kobe.
Oh yeah.
I had kind of forgot about him until I saw him. I'm like, oh yeah, I saw that guy at the outdoor event I went to here for the Romero Rumble. And I remember we were all super impressed with him at that event too. So it was really nice seeing him emerge in NWA. And I really hope we see more of him, because he's really, really talented.
Yeah. The only other thing, I saw an introduction for Slime Balls. Have you seen these two guys?
Yeah.
It reminded me of, like, I hear stories of how WWE used to work with the gimmick table, and that, you know, you come back and you'd meet Vince, or you'd meet whoever was in charge, and you were some green kid who had done nothing, and they would send you over to the gimmick table, and they'd reach into a box. You are the dentist. Okay, get out there. The Slime Balls? Like, seriously?
I give them credit in that they bring an exuberance and energy to it. They're all in on it, which, I mean, if this is a gimmick that they've been handed, I mean, props to them.
Maybe a little too much. They turned it up to 11. It's like,
they reminded me of like the Nasty Boys
on steroids. 11. Yes, it was, but Nasty Boys were a lot.
Yeah,
that's a good comparison, because I was like, Yeah, it is Nasty Boys, except like on speed. And exactly. I think they're younger than the Nasty Boys. Like, they don't look very old, these guys. They're 20, 21, whatever. Oh, yeah. So
I'm pretty sure they're inexperienced and just breaking into the industry. But yeah, that's who they reminded me of, was just a very young and kind of raw Nasty Boys.
So yeah, NWA, it's still going smooth. I'm still not sure exactly what the future holds for them, because this product is good still, but they fucked up that TV deal, so I don't know what their plan is for what they want to do for streaming, what they want to do for broadcasting. They haven't really been talking
about it. Do we know that did they lose it for sure?
Well, they're on the app and not on television, so that is so I think they definitely screwed up the TV portion of that. And that just being on the app is no different than when they were on Fight. So that didn't change. I think Billy was looking for a TV deal. So, because that changes your business, I get it. But he also fucked it up. So, and now you're the laughing stock of the industry by doing that. So, yeah, I don't know. Next pay per view is not until the new year, I think. It's in January, I'm pretty sure. I don't think there's any December.
I think you're right. Yeah.
We'll see what they do. That's pretty much all I got for NWA, unless you got anything else.
The only other thing I had is just, really enjoying the youth movement. I'm really liking that they actually are building to things. Like, you are getting some push for, like, you're building. Jax Dane is building towards his match with EC3 and stuff, which
totally
before they did their complete reset, we weren't seeing building for anything. And I mean, we've said it many times as far as like, well, you get to a pay-per-view and it's like, well, are we going to get the matches we were promised, or are we just going to see something that we have no idea? But
I
agree. It's moving in the right direction. I mean, I hope that their future is bright for these guys, because this is the one can't miss show for me each week. So yeah, the arrow's pointed in the right direction, at least.
Yeah. For my pushes this week, Kairi Sane, the Pirate Princess, being back in WWE, teaming with Io Sky. You don't see many all female factions that five members that are like dominating in outside of Japan. Really, it's great to see this happening in WWE right now. They're getting wicked heat. Bayley's doing such a good job with them. It's really fun to see this, and it's the women's division just keeps growing in WWE and keeps becoming more prominent and more powerful and getting better spots. So I love what I'm seeing, but it's great having her back. She's just so entertaining. She flies around. Her elbow is so wicked. Yeah, and I just love Japanese wrestlers. I love that they're letting them let loose on the mic in Japanese. I don't know what they're saying. It sounds mean. It sounds vicious. I don't know. They could be saying "I love you." I don't know. It's all. I love that they're letting them speak their language, so they can get emotion behind it and really say their thoughts and not be stumbling trying to like say it in our language. No, say it in their language, what they want to speak. So yeah, she gets my first push. I already talked about Will Ospreay. I had that down. His Eddie Edwards match is something you should check out. You can watch it on DAZN, and it's a banger. It is a banger. Yeah. I think it's at the pay-per-view. So you go through the episodes, and it's the one that I can't remember what it was called, but it's at their pay-per-view event. And it was, I just scanned through it to find that match specifically, and it was a banger. And nice. My other push is for long-term storytelling. So it's something that I want AEW and NWA to get better at. AEW owns the market on five-star matches. They have banger after banger after banger. But to bring me in each week and watch 5 hours of your show, I need to be drawn into these stories. And WWE, that's something that Triple H, I will give him massive credit for, is a year later, inside a steel cage, somebody will reference something from 13 months ago with a look or with a move or with a t-shirt, and you go, holy shit, he's bringing that back. Like, they keep their stories going and going. Like, Roman Reigns' story has been going for 3 years. Like, they really know how to do that. Yeah. You know, the matches are, they have some bangers, they have some misses, but the storytelling is always there. Even even a wrestler that isn't an amazing wrestler can have a long program if the story is good. You know, they don't even have to wrestle. You don't even have to wrestle. You can get out of a match. You can run away and have a promo backstage, and it's interesting. So there's more to wrestling than just great matches. And I love long-term storytelling, which is why I'm such a fan of WWE. So, yeah.
Well, I would agree with that in the limited amount of WWE that I watched this year is exactly that. Like you can, it's easy to invest in the performers, which it wasn't until you just said that it's kind of been bugging me that I've been, as I said earlier, I was just kind of skimming Collision.
Yeah.
And some matches I'm like, I know the performer, but I'm not that invested. And I think that's exactly it, where you're not invested in the performer and the story. So there's no real reason to watch it other than, I mean, if all you want to watch is just a good match and you don't care about the story and the character, well, then that's fine. I mean, I'm not going to tell anybody how they should watch wrestling or what they should watch it for. But for me, I can definitely see that. You've got definitely a tiered character system there where, yeah, like you've got your top four women performers. You've got your top X amount of male performers. And beyond that, it's kind of a bunch of names that I'm not invested in, and I watch the matches and I'm not really given any reason to now invest in them. So
a lot of the Collision cards I notice are very, it reminds me a lot of old Mid-South wrestling, whereas there's one storyline that's happening and that'll be your main event or the opening. And then everything else is just, you know, oh, this one is a tag team match with you versus you. And then the next one is a singles match. Oh, it's you versus you. And you know, that's fine. The matches themselves, you're hoping it'll be a banger. Quite often it is. And so if you're, like you said, if you're tuning in, you just want to watch a bunch of great wrestling matches, you're going to see that. No problem. But between episodes, when you're thinking about watching the next one, I don't find I'm drawn to, I wonder what's going to happen in that particular story. Cause there's really not much going on that other than you used to like me. Oh, you don't like me anymore. I don't like you either. Like that's very much an AEW storyline. It's a lot of, I hate you now. I used to like you, or now we're friends, or, oh, I betrayed you. Like, that's fine. Like I said, it'll lead to some great 5-star matches, but it doesn't make me watch the product multiple nights a week, long-term. And that's really what I'm in for. And I'm not saying AEW has to change that, but that's what keeps my eyeballs on another product. What do you got? What do you got, Paulie?
What do I got? My push actually is for the NWA YouTube channel. Something that I've noticed when I go on there to go look for the Power episode of the week is I really appreciate that they feature their champions wrestling in other promotions. So for instance, they recently posted a match of Max Impaler defending their title in a completely different promotion against somebody I've never heard. I haven't checked the match out, but I thought that is so smart because you're featuring your champions, but it's also giving you exposure to these other promotions that they're clearly potentially going to work with in the future. And it just gives you a broader idea of the other talent out there. So
yeah,
I've noticed that creeping in there probably the last month or so. And I'm a big fan of that. And I definitely want to check out more of that for sure.
I can see that for sure. I like some of the things they're talking about with the expanding of the NWA territory and the I'm seeing, like, I go through my Instagram and I see faces that I know with the titles I know from NWA, but that poster is definitely not an NWA poster. So I'm like, oh, okay. I don't even know what the hell promotion that is. Like half the time I've never even heard of the promotion, but they're touring. Like the titles are touring titles again, which is, you know, that's something that the people that are trashing on NWA aren't, they probably have no idea that's even happening. Yeah. And like, that's actually really cool. That might not mean a lot to someone that doesn't remember the old days. It is definitely a throwback. The NWA loves that. Billy's feasting on that, the idea of the nostalgia of that, which will always limit the size of his fan base, but it will develop a solid fan base. It'll be a solid, smaller fan base that is embracing that, the old school style of trying to do the product. So yeah, no, totally. I think that's great.
And then the only other push I have is for Colby Carino, because there was a huge pop when he came in out of nowhere, the surprise at the pay-per-view. I think it was NWA 75. And I was hoping that it would lead to bigger things for him in the NWA. And it really has, because he's really been given the showcase to just put on display what he can do. And that guy, he can wrestle like a motherfucker, and his ring gear is always on point. And that's something that I know, like you mentioned, and it's really stuck in my mind. Like you just see, like when it's almost like an investment in themselves, an investment in their visibility. Like if their ring gear is on point, like I noticed Mim's ring gear this week, I was like, oh, that's fun. It's not just black trunks. It was blue trunks with a yellow band, and it said X-Mims on the bottom, right? On the X trunks. I'm like,
yeah, I was going to mention that.
And we talk about Pretty Empowered, how their ring gear is on point. And yeah, it's the presentation of yourself. And yeah, he just has this kind of gritty style in his wrestling, but also his ring gear is on point. And yeah, he's doing some great things. And I look forward to seeing matches from him every week. So
I totally agree with you. I love how he sells. And yeah, the ring gear there's that old expression that you can judge a man by his shoes, right? And that's the old expression of like, it is how you are representing yourself to the world. It doesn't mean you always have to be wearing a suit and tie. When do I ever do that? But it is how you want to represent yourself is how you will be perceived. And in wrestling, your gear is the first thing people will see. How you come out with your hair, your makeup, and your gear is what people are going to notice. And if you come out wearing shabby shit that doesn't fit and running shoes and your hair's a mess and you haven't shaved, if your gimmick is that you're just some bum who sleeps on people's couches, that's fine. But most of us are going to go, this person doesn't give a shit about how they represent themselves in the ring. Wrestling is just get yourself a good pair of boots, get yourself a pair of trunks, wash your hair. I'll be a happy guy. Just show, it doesn't have to be like Cody Rhodes comes out in his like $1,000, that jacket that he wears is so elaborate with the buckles. And you're like, wow, yeah. It doesn't have to be that. Like, that's awesome. What some of these wrestlers, Charlotte Flair's robes are amazing. Doesn't have to be that though. Just show that you give a shit about what you're wearing. That's all I ask. Brush your hair, wear something clean, get a nice pair of boots. That's it.
Well, and I can't remember offhand the wrestler's name. He was in NWA probably about a year, year and a half ago. And he had decent ring skills, but his ring gear was awful. It was tennis shoes and yoga pants.
Ugh,
and no. Some kind of hat, no. Like a singlet shirt.
Yeah, I remember. I remember.
I find it hard to buy into what you're doing when you look like you just walked in off the street. And there's some people that is their stick where can walk in and it's the grunge look or whatever, but they have wrestling boots on. They don't have sneakers on
Or if you're going to wear sneakers, like when Jey Uso comes out and he's wearing street clothes. And if you're wearing street clothes, you're wearing amazing sneakers, like collector sneakers that match like the color from the sneakers to the track pants you're wearing, to the tank top, to the whatever the cap you're wearing. That's your look. That's your gear. And it all, you can tell you put a lot of thought into what you're wearing, and that's fine. If you just threw on your sneakers and came out to the ring, then you put no thought into what you're wearing and we'll notice that real quick. So
yeah, it just looks like practice.
And this is Fashion Corner. Murder Gymnastics Fashion Corner.
From Christmas cards to fashion.
spandex fashion, baby.
Yeah, baby. So what are the things that made you want to tap out?
My biggest tap out, it's something that drives me crazy. It's dropping titles. And I don't mean dropping as in you lost and had to give up your title. When a wrestler, part of the story is them abandoning a title, I think I'm done with that storyline. NWA did it with the national title when EC3 dropped it, and I hated it then. But then Samoa Joe did it with the Ring of Honor title. And this promotion, you're trying to get people to care about Ring of Honor. This is why I didn't want AEW buying Ring of Honor. I wanted it to be its own thing, because it's totally, in my opinion, being kind of forgotten about as being a serious thing. It's just an afterthought in AEW. Oh, there's title belts and they come out at the pay-per-views, but it doesn't feel like they're taking it that seriously. And when I see a wrestler just take a title and drop it, I don't need this thing. It just devalues it so much. I can't stand that story. I will never be on board with. And the only time it ever worked was that wrestler. What was it, Medusa? When she
where she dropped it in the garbage.
She took one promotion's title to another promotion and dropped it in the garbage can. Okay, if that's what you want to do, that's effective. That's like, wow, holy shit, she just did that. But if you're doing it on your own show, why would you devalue your own product? I don't understand it. It bothers me. It's not a good story. So that's my first tap out. Is I don't think it's good for the belt. I don't think it's good for the product. It doesn't make you invested in the next person that holds that title. It's like, well, the last guy just threw it away. Why do I care about anyone? Oh, a tournament to win the title that guy didn't want. No, I think it's a bad decision to do that. So that's my first tab up. I don't like dropping belts. I think it's a bad idea. Yeah. And my second one is directly related to that, stealing titles. Let's get to Jay White and stealing titles. I don't like that story either. It bugs me when a wrestler steals a belt and is not held accountable for it by the organization that manages the belt. So is that story still going?
They've talked about it. And MJF has actually come out and said, like, yeah, you've got the belt, but that doesn't make you the champion. So they have actually talked about it, but it's more developed into Jay White leveraging the fact that he has the belt into a title shot. But you can't do that, though.
That's stupid. Tony Khan just go, give the title back or you're suspended? Like, it defies logic that the story should even, like, why won't the next guy steal the belt and hold it hostage until that's the new money in the bank? Is you don't have to have a money in the bank briefcase, just steal the title and go, oh, not until you give me a title match. Like, stupid. So I don't like the two storylines that manipulate titles in that way. Those are my two tap outs for the week. That's all I'm gonna say.
And I can get on board with both. I did like the fact that MJF came out and actually addressed it. And
oh, totally. Someone finally addressed it.
Yes. But yeah, I can totally get on board with that. My tap outs are, and I know this first one you'll agree, the Aaron Stevens loaded glove. And it's one of those things that if you use it in moderation, it could be effective.
Yes.
But when every match ends with it, it becomes tiresome and it just lacks any creativity. Like, we saw a loaded glove. I mean, it's been done forever, but the one that I'm thinking of is the Ted DiBiase loaded glove back in Mid-South. That was done effectively because there was the threat of it, but he didn't use it every match.
Exactly.
He didn't use it every time, where it just seems like it kind of neuters blunt force trauma as champions.
Oh yeah.
When their champion has to use a loaded glove to bail them out every match, it's like, well, then why are, because they are physically imposing wrestlers and they are good wrestlers, but you're really shortchanging your champions when they have to be bailed out all the time.
That's what it is. They sell us gimmick. Every week they sell us that these two guys are these big, tough, street fighting guys.
Their name is Force Trauma.
Right. But their manager has to win the match for them. Like, their finish move is a loaded glove. That's not good. Like,
their manager. It's not even them.
I can't believe I'm going to use Jim Cornette to defend something right now, but I'm going to. Jim Cornette, when he had the tennis racket, it wasn't used every single time. When Jim Cornette brought out the loaded tennis racket, he used the racket. Like, it was a big deal when he used the tennis racket. It's not like it just became, every match at some point, Jim Cornette will smash one of the opposing guys so that his guy can get the pinfall. That wasn't what happened. But Aaron Stevens, you're right. Every match. It's every match. I love Aaron Stevens, but it's getting real old real fast.
Yeah, it just lacks creativity. And me too. I love him. He is such a character. He has so much charisma, but that they need to move on from that.
Yeah, agreed.
And then my other couple tap outs are, and again, subjective art form, I'm not going to tell somebody who they can and cannot cheer for, but I just do not get the appeal of Claudio Castiglione in AEW. He's this big powerhouse guy for the Blackpool Combat Club, and he's like their enforcer. And I get it. Like, a lot of times, big guys have limited movesets, but I even think that's a dated idea. Like, you look at classic big guys like Bam Bam Bigelow, Vader. Those are big guys that can move. Those were big guys that could, they weren't just all power moves. This guy, he's just power moves, and his matches are boring.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
he will do a power move, and you know, the classic, you get your guy in the corner and you start pounding him and you get the crowd to count to 10. Oh no, he's better. He can do it to 20. Oh, he can do more than one power bomb in a row. He can do three. And yeah. That's, it seems his stick is it's just one upping. It's like, okay, yeah, you're a big, strong guy and boring as fuck. Like but, I thought maybe it was a one-off, but I've seen a couple matches since. And I've talked about it with my buddy, Ivan, who he is a AEW fan. He's like, well, he's just a big guy. I'm like, yeah, you can be a big guy and still have interesting matches.
Sheamus is what you just described. Sheamus is a big guy who does power moves. He does the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 count up to pounding on his chest. All his finish move is a big kick to the face. All but Sheamus is amazing. Sheamus is amusing. Sheamus cracks people up. Sheamus is a worker. Sheamus has all the things you need. And he's also a power guy. He's also a big, strong guy that does mostly power moves. But you never once are thinking he's just the Ultimate Warrior. Sorry, Warrior, but Warrior kind of was that. That's why I was never huge into Ultimate Warrior. Is Warrior's whole thing was just a series of power moves and a pinfall and roaring around. And it was the same thing every match, and I got so bored with it. And that's, I agree with you completely. That is his shtick. And it is one hit. If you saw it one time, you'd be like, oh, okay. You were live at a show and that match happened. That's fine. But when he comes out the next week, you go, oh, okay, here we go. More of this guy, right? It never changes. So no, I could see that completely. I agree.
Yeah. It drives me nuts. And then the only other thing, and it's more of a moment because I don't know the performer that well, but while I was watching the November 11th collision, towards the end, there was a six-man tag and Lance Archer came out and he was teamed up with the Revival, which I like the Revival. They've got that kind of weird, quirky old Southern vibe to them, but he was paired up with them to complete the set. And on his way out to the ring, he attacked a security guy, like took him out from behind. And I'm like, that just seems like really cheap heat. Yeah. But the weird thing is, like, the announcers laughed, like, oh, he took out a security guy. I'm like, is that what you want to show?
Right? Shouldn't someone be mad about that? Yeah.
Yeah. Like, shouldn't you be upset? And like, I can't believe he did that anything. But they're like, oh, he took out a security guy. Isn't that a joke? And it's like,
no, that's
I don't know. That just seems pretty lame and pretty dumb. And the crowd's cheering. And I'm like, oh, okay, I don't get it. Whatever.
Yes. Subjective art form. So,
yeah. But yeah. And then just my last little quibble is just, yeah, the new power theme. I'm just, I think if it was just instrumental, I'd be okay with it.
It's actually kind of, but yeah, the beginning is kind of boppy. I kind of like the opening 20 seconds. I'm like, and then comes out and it ruins it. It ruins it.
It sure does. But yeah, so that's just my minor quibble. I'll get off my high horse and
awesome. Well, this was fun. We'll be back in December for the middle of the month. I think it'd be fun for us to do something a little different. We'll do like some Mount Rushmores or something. We'll do some pop quizzes on each other. We'll pick some favorites, some tag teams that we love, and some wrestlers and some title belts, and we'll come up with some crazy categories and we'll see if we can stump each other. So that should be
fun. Just have some fun, and then you guys can play along too. You can say, I can't believe you guys didn't say this.
Exactly. So all right, cool, man. Okay, well, it's time to wrap things up. Huge thanks to all the listeners that joined us this week. Don't forget to subscribe and download the episode in your podcast app of choice. Every little bit helps us. Spotify users, you can now interact directly with the podcast in-app as we add Q&As and polls for every episode, so check those out. And we even try and read out your responses, so let us have them. And you can now reach the podcast on Instagram at MurderGymnasticsPod. I try and post daily, so pop on over for fun memes, pics, and videos. And of course, Paul, if people got nothing going on, what should they do?
Go watch some wrestling! Yeah!